Welcome to the School of Prosperity and Influence Special Editions. I am Adekunle Joshua Olambiwon, and I'm super excited to have you here today. Now, if you've been following us from the beginning of this series is meant specifically for students of the School of Prosperity and Influence. If you'd like to get a full version of the teachings, of the steps in the school, you can reach out to us, okay, via any of the contact address available with this particular podcast, and put in your registration. We're still taking students for this batch. All right, so in the last few, in the last 10 audios, 9 audios to be precise, we talked about the keys to prosperity. And then from about 2 audios now, we've been talking about laws. In the laws of prosperity, we considered insisting on the word of God, or say engaging the word of God as the first law to prosperity. We consider giving as another law, but there was one new thing we added to giving, which is also withdrawing. So we said giving and withdrawing, and we, if you still need to understand how to withdraw from your Evelyn account in the audio, you can just go back to the previous edition, you'll find it there. You know, a lot of people think that you can just give, so when we give that our rewards are in heaven. No. Yes, when we give, our rewards are in heaven. But the honest truth is that what the Bible makes us understand is that we have an heavenly account. We have been blessed on all the blessings in the spiritual places, and we have an heavenly account. And we can find from God's dealings with a lot of people that God counts things. Praise the Lord. The Bible says that, and God, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Abraham believed God. He had faith in God, and it was counted. So God counts things. So if God counts things, it means that you have an account that is specific unto you. So if you are a Christian in particular, it means since the day that you have been converted, an account has been opened unto yourself. This is why your works when you get to heaven will be tried, regardless of what it is you do. They will be tried because you have an account where it is being recorded for you. So because you have an account, okay, that is why you can withdraw. The scripture says that you should lay your treasures, okay, where? In the heavens, where no moth or rust can come unto. So if you can lay it up somewhere, it means you can keep it up. And if you can keep it there, it means it does not mean you can't touch it until the day you die. No. The scripture does not say it is on the day you die that you will eat of your rewards. No. You will find today, even as we're talking about sowing, that you are meant to eat some of your rewards here in this life. Now in this life. It is the scriptures that say this. It's not me. You will discover today. So sometimes when we think that when we give, we can't withdraw, you can withdraw. It is just that it is the system of God that you engage when you are given. That is why giving is a law. However, giving on its own will not work if you do not use the first law, which is knowing the word of God, insisting on it, and confessing it. It is so important. It is so, so important. So today we are going to consider another law. Naturally, we should be considering tithing today as a law. You know, tithing is a law we are all used to, but by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit will reveal to you some things you don't understand about tithing. And as you begin to understand those things and work them, you begin to see results. So we want to talk about sowing today. Sowing. God told Noah in those days that as long as the world exists, as long as earth exists, that seed time and harvest time shall not cease from this earth. So one of the systems of God that people need to understand is sowing. Now, I want to tell you something categorically today, that as a Christian, you are a sower. I want you to understand this. There is no, how do I put this now? There is no argument in this. Without controversy, as Christians, we are sowers. We are not meant to labor unnecessarily. I've said this before, and I'll say it again because it's something I like saying, that what we consider as hard work in the world we live in today is as a result of the curse, okay, that was brought upon Adam because he disobeyed God. God is the kind of personality that creates the provision before he creates the man. To save our time, we will not be going to Genesis today again. You will see that God created the Garden of Eden. He made all of the provisions available before he created the man. So it is when man disobeyed and broke fellowship with God that God drove him out of that provision. So every man that is not in Christ Jesus is driven out of the provision of God for them. It's simple. So it now means that if you are in Christ Jesus today, there is a provision of God for you that you should come into. But the thing is, it is not automatic for you to come and just say you want to start living. There are things you need to do. And part of those things you need to do is what we call sowing. So, as Christians that we are supposed to sow and harvest, not labor. Because it is the cause that Adam received, that by the sweat of his face he will eat all the days of his life. But then we have been risen again. We did not, okay, so far, yes, man fell. But we are risen again with Christ Jesus. We have been gone back to the provision God presided for us. So today, by the grace of God, even as we're going to be considering the scriptures, the Holy Spirit will reveal himself to you until you come to the understanding of the things you need to start doing. So we're going to start from Mark chapter 4, verse 26. I want to apologize that even though we had promised that we're going to be talking about tithing today, you know, I've said this before, that this class, this series, I am not the director. The school as it is the director of the school is the Holy Spirit. So we have to do everything by instruction. So even though we have said we're going to teach it tithing before, we have been instructed to talk about sowing first. Then we'll come down to tithing by the grace of God. Mark chapter 4, verse 26. Now let's look at 26. 26 says, and he said, this is Jesus himself talking here. Jesus himself said, and so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, and he knoweth not how. He said, a man, this is how the kingdom of God is, that a man should what? Should put seed into the ground, all right? And he would go to bed and sleep, and then he will wake up the next day, okay? And he know not how the spring up from the ground. He does not know. Or do you know if a farmer can explain to you how maize spring up from the ground? All that we can tell, even all agriculture can tell you, is that there are nutrients in the ground. So when you plant, okay, and you water, you go to sleep. The next thing you see is that it comes out after a certain day. A process has happened unto it. And Jesus is saying that this is the process. And this is how the kingdom of God is. It has a process. And the process is that you sow, okay, and you go to sleep. Praise God. You sow and you go to sleep. And then by the time you wake up, it will have spring up. You can see the evidence of your sowing by the time you wake up. Praise God. And then 28. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of itself. First the blade, then the hair, after that the full corn in the hair. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. What Jesus is saying here is that this is how the kingdom of God is. Now, you know, people would like to say that Jesus is likening the kingdom of God. Okay, so Jesus likened the kingdom of God to sowing the seed. No, Jesus is telling you that this is how the kingdom of God is. This is how the process is. Now, if you want to, we have said this before. As a Christian, you should understand that the kingdom of God is here in us. Jesus said that he that loved me, he keepeth my commandments. Okay, and he that keepeth my commandments, I will love him. Okay, and I and my Father will make our abode with him. Yeah, I know it is hard to believe for you, but Jesus and the Father lives in you. So if the head of the government in heaven is in you, where is the kingdom of God in you? So it is actually wrong for you to say some words in prayer. It is wrong for you to ask for the kingdom of God to come. It is in you if you are a born-again believer. It is wrong for you to ask for open heavens. It is the kingdom of heaven is in you. So why do you need heaven to be opened upon you again? Praise God. It is the ignorance of these things that is not allowing them to manifest. Praise God. You'll find this there. This is how the kingdom of God is. So to better understand this, okay, I want us to look at the book Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Matthew 6, 25. Now, it says there, see instruction here. It says, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Now here, so you agree with me that everything that we see, even the prosperity that you seek now, is so that you can have the fattest of things, so that you can, how do I put it, to prosper means that you want to be okay. Everybody wants to be okay. You want to eat the best of good food, you want to drive nice cars, you want to do this, you want to do that. That is why you seek prosperity. But Jesus is saying here that, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for all of these things. 26. He says, look at the fowls of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor they gather into barns. Okay? Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much more better than they? 27. He says, which of you by thinking, by your thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And then he says, why take you thought for raiment? Okay, let's continue from 31. He says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Look at this. He says that for your Father in heaven, Jesus himself is telling you now that all of these things that is making you seek after prosperity, your Father in heaven knows that you need it. Your Father in heaven knows that all of the Gentiles have it. He knows that you need it. And your Father in heaven here, Jesus has made us understand that he's living in you. So he knows that you need them, okay, before you seek for them. Okay? Now, 33. He now tells you this is what you should do instead. Instead of you seeking after all these things, thinking about them, this is what you should do instead. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness thereof, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first. So how do we seek the kingdom of God? So when we say that the kingdom of God is in us, okay? Now Jesus is instructing you and I to seek. What he's saying is that we need to understand the kingdom of God that is in us, okay? And understand how it works. When you say you seek something, it means you are looking to behold the thing. Seeking means that you are looking to behold. So beholding means that you are seeing the thing, and that by seeing you understand. So when you seek the kingdom of God that is in you, when you seek to understand the kingdom of God that is in you, okay, you what? All of these things that you seek will be added unto you. All these things, all prosperity, divine health, you name it, will be added unto you when you seek the kingdom of God. When you seek the kingdom of God. Now, we have already said in the previous scripture we read, it now said that the kings, and so is the kingdom of God you should seek. Jesus is telling us here to seek the kingdom of God. He's now telling us in that Mark 26 that this is how the kingdom of God that he has asked us to seek, this is how it is. It is like a man that what? That plants a seed and he goes to bed to sleep. He wakes up the next day to see that the seed has sprung up. So when you seek the kingdom of God and you understand the process, it is not you, okay, that will cause these things to happen. Praise God. That is why it says, not by power nor by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. So how do you understand that? It is not you that will do it. And when we are seeking the kingdom of God, how do we seek the kingdom of God? It is by searching for the will of God or the word of God. See, there's something you need to understand, that even though we have received the abundance of grace and righteousness, we still need to understand the mysteries of God to be able to multiply the grace. The book of 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, it says, from 2, it says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. There is a condition, through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus. We are still talking about sowing. We are still talking about sowing. So I want us to understand this. Jesus is asking us to seek first the kingdom of God that is in us. And he has told us this is how the kingdom of God, okay, that you are seeking should be. Okay? So let us look at Mark chapter 10. I want to show something there. Mark chapter 10, verse 29. Mark chapter 10, verse 29. Now it says it. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that have left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or land, for my sake and the gospel. Okay? 30, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time. He shall receive. Now, it didn't say in heaven. Praise God. It didn't say in heaven. He said he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time. Houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. Now, look at it here. He said you will receive an hundredfold, but what? With persecutions. Praise God. With persecutions. It means that when you sow, praise God, all of the giving you have been doing in the past, okay? Even when you sow, it means that there is persecution. It is not automatic. It's because there is persecution. Because you might be wondering, that second picture chapter 1 verse 3 says, according as this is divine power, God has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Okay. With power. So why is it not manifesting in the life of a born-again believer? Instantly, automatically. He's saying here that despite the fact that you have given everything up, you are seeking the kingdom of God. Okay. And by default, giving every other thing up, you should receive the hundredfold. Now in this life, all of those things back, but it is not automatic with persecution. And now there's another addition. The beautiful thing is that God's system is so abundant that whatever it is you give, whatever it is you sow, you receive an hundredfold, okay, some in this life and some in the world to come. Praise God. Some in this life and some in the world to come. We are still talking about sowing. What I want you to understand now is that as Christians, we are farmers. Let me put it that way. We are farmers. And at every point in time, we should sow. This is where a lot of people are missing it. So are we saying that you should not work? No. We are not saying you should not work. As a matter of fact, what we are saying is that you should work. But whatever area you find yourself, whatever kind of work you do, should be a means to serve God. Should be a means to promote the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness thereof. So whatever kind of job you do, your goal, your aim should not be the money you are being paid there. Your aim should not be what you will hit. Seek ye first. Whatever it is you do in eating, in drinking, in festivity, in working for others should be to the glory of the Father. It should be that you are using whatever it is to promote the kingdom of God. That is when what you do becomes sowing. We don't sow only by searching for the word of God alone. We sow by living the word of God. So it is one thing to know the word of God. It is another thing to live it. You will find it interesting that some Christians are Christians only when we are in church. When you get home, they are somebody else. When you get home, they become somebody else. They will say, oh no, that, when we are in church, we're in church. We behave brotherly, we behave orderly, you know. And then when they leave church, when they get to their place of work, they are the kind of people that people can't approach. You can imagine when the scripture says that as Christians, the whole creation is waiting for the for your manifestation as the Son of God. And you, that you are now a Son of God, in your work, in your place of work, you are manifesting the devil. In your place of work, you are the kind of person they can't talk to. In your place of work, you are the kind of person that cheats. In your place of work, you are the kind of person that lies. In your place of work, you are the kind of person that does all sorts of things that even unbelievers do not dare not do. And you want to prosper. Come on. God's system is not like that. The principle of God, the system of God is simple. It's not. We are not saying you should be holy by your works. No. For no man, for by strength shall no man prevail. What we are saying is that you should promote the kingdom of God with everything that you find in your hands. If it is your work, promote the kingdom of God with it. If it is your strength, promote the kingdom of God with it. If it is your gifts, promote the kingdom of God with it. Everywhere you find yourself, live the word of God. And as you begin to, the beautiful thing is, as you begin to live the word of God, okay? And then it begins to, in a way, it begins to transform your life. And all of these things that you seek will be added unto it for you. Praise God. I want you to understand this, that for every harvest you want, you are to sow, not work. Praise God. I came to the understanding of this recently, that for every harvest you want in this life, for every result you want in this life, you are to sow for it. If you decide to labor for it, fine. You can labor and get it, yes. But think about it. Who do you think is more profitable? The person that labored, seriously, to get a portion, and the person that sowed, okay? Sowed the word of God by living it, by confessing it, okay? And at the end of the day, he received bountiful. Who do you think is more profitable? I think I'll prefer to sow the word of God. I think I'll prefer to sow and live the word of God. Jesus said, so is the kingdom of God that is in you. So is the kingdom of God that is in you. It's like a man plants seed. And what? And it goes to sleep. I need us to understand this. That for every harvest, everything you want, divine health is an harvest. How do you sow? You sow the word of God concerning it. Praise God. You don't need to know how. Divine prosperity is an harvest. How do you sow it? You sow the word of God concerning it. What does the word of God concerning it say? Confess it. Live it. You will see it. Praise God. It is important that we need to understand this. That every platform, anywhere you find yourself, is an opportunity for you, okay, to live the word of God. And when you do this, you sow. When you do this, you are sowing. I want to show us another scripture, Matthew chapter 13. This is where the parable of the sower came. Matthew chapter 13. This is the problem with people. So you might want to ask, that are all Christians sowing? Yes. As a matter of fact, everybody is sowing. Praise God. Now, the reason some people's harvest do not come is what you realize now. Matthew chapter 13, we should start from verse 1. To 23. It's a very long scripture. Let's start from verse 3. He said, and he spake many things to them unto them in parables. Behold, a sower went forth to sow, And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the foes came and devoured them all. Some fell on stony places where had not much earth, and many and many and many like that. And I want to, our focus is on 8. But others fell into good ground and bought fruit, food, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Jesus now said, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, let me make something clear to you. What the world calls karma today is one of the systems of God. What we call karma today is one of the systems of God. And it does not really relate to the rest of the world, because it is so powerful that the rest of the world can, you know, dip into it. Okay, anybody can work in the system, but it is more profitable for the man that is in God. But it is more profitable for the man that is with God. Because for everyone that walks into it without God, okay, we face persecutions. And the person will not be able to deal with the persecutions. Praise God. Now, you see that you see here that there are different kinds of places where you can sow. Some was sown by the way, okay? Some on stony places, some on rock, some among thorns. Each of them had meaning. Okay, so if we are to come down before 23, let's look at it here. Let's start from 18. He was now explaining the parable to them now. This is the reason why some people sow, even people that are in the body of Christ, this is why some of the seeds you have been sowing, including the word of God that you have been sowing, have not been working for you. Listen to me. It is not that the word of God is not active. The word of God is ever powerful and active. But it needs your faith for it to work for you. This is it. You sow the word of God with faith. I have this understanding that God will work with every man according to their level of faith. So it's not like the word of God is less powerful in some people's life. No, it is the same. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing into the dividing asunder of the spirit, okay, and a discerner of the intents of the heart. So it is not like it is weakened in power, but it needs your faith. It needs you to cooperate. The word of God you are sowing, the word of God you are living, needs you to cooperate with it for it to be fruitful unto you. Praise God. In 18 here, it says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. Now look at it here. This is the parable of the sower is saying that when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom of God, that is in you. When you hear the word, okay, as you are seeking the kingdom of God, that is in you, you hear the word about it. Okay? As you hear the word about it, and you understand it, as soon as you hear it and you don't understand it, the wicked one comes and catches it away. Okay? He said, but the one that received the seed into stony places is the same that received here the word, and anon with joy. You hear it, you receive it with joy. But because you have no root, it has no root in you. Your heart is not fully open to receive it. Okay? It does not profit you. 22. He that receiveth the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. You hear the word of God, but because of the deceitfulness of the world, the cares of this world, you find it difficult to let the word of God find root in you. The deceitfulness of the riches choke the word and you become unfruitful. You still prefer, you see, these are the kind of people that still prefer to run by their strength. They are so used to running by their strength that even when they hear the word of God, to live it becomes difficult. They want to run by their strength and on their understanding. He now said, but he that received the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, okay, which also beareth fruit. Now, he now says that the people that hear the word of God, even you and I that are believers, that hear the word of God, that understand it, okay, and bears fruit, will bring forth, some of us, 100, some 60, some 30. Not all of us will bring all 400. Some will bring 460. Some will bring 430. I, Adekunle Olamiwonu, I bring 400 food. I don't know about you. So it is important for us to understand this, that for every harvest we need, we have to sow. For every harvest we need, so as Christians, we are sowing. As Christians, we are sowing. So the question might be, this is where we are going now. This is a lot of prosperity if you want to prosper. What do we sow? The question is, it's a very important question to ask. What do we sow? I want to show us another scripture I noted here. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. It says, and God is able... Okay, now, let us start from 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. This is to tell you that this is the principle of God, okay, for the people that are of God. He which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Okay? And God is able to make all grace abound to you, towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. That giving there may make you want to think it's just by giving that you sow. No, you sow by everything you do. By everything you do on this earth is sowing. When you communicate with people, you are sowing. That's why the scripture says, if any man speaks, everything that comes out of your mouth must come like a pronouncement of the oracle of God. Everything. In your thinking, in your talking, in your eating, in your walking, you should be sowing. Everything. The question still remains, what do we sow? Galatians chapter 6, I'm going to be ending on this scripture. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Let's start from 7. Now, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know, people make mistake to think that the Holy Spirit through Apostle Paul here is talking to the whole universe. No, he's talking to the body of believers. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, so shall he also reap. Now, 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. 9. He now said, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let us not be weary in what? In well-doing. Is the question, what do we sow? Still ambiguous to us? No. It is clear here that we have to sow two things. One, we have to sow the word of God by engaging the word of God. Two, we are to do well unto others. How? By living the word of God. Praise God. So, what do we sow? One, sow the word of God. Confessing it, knowing it, understanding it, knowing it, confessing it. The second thing is by living the word. In your place of work, live the word of God. In your house, live the word of God. Everywhere you find yourself, even in the vineyard of God, live the word of God. He said, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto who? Now, unto all men. So it means that we may not be able to show the abundance of love that is in us to all men, because their father is the devil. Okay? But let us do good unto them. Do good unto all men. He now says, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. You find this in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 to 10. Now, I want to believe that the Holy Spirit himself has ministered unto you today. And I want to believe that you have come to the understanding that as a Christian, for every harvest you need, you are to sow. And what do we sow? We sow the word of God by what? By knowing, understanding, and confessing it. Okay? And we also sow the word of God by living it. It is important that we live the word of God. It is by living the word of God that we can stand against the persecutions. It is by living the word of God that we can reap our harvest. God help you. God bless you. I pray for you that the Holy Spirit will bring this to your understanding and you'll be able to live the word of God. Do well to go after the scriptures to understand them, okay, and put them into practice, and God will be with you. Amen.